Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 172 for Monday, May 7th, 2018. Everybody, welcome back to the Boop Show. This is the BOOP Show. 172. I mentioned that already. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hi, Brian.
Already? Already mentioned it.
Hey, we didn't do a show last week because I was out of town and I didn't get home till late Monday night. So
right. Well, that's fine because this gave me more time to play video games.
That's right. You got more time than I did. I was in Vegas and it was nice to see everybody there. The problem was no time for games while I was there. Really? Not really, anyway.
Time for games, Dr. Johnson.
Couldn't bring my PS4 with me, so God of War had to stay right here and chill.
But you did take your Nintendo Switch, right?
I did not, because I knew I wouldn't have time, and it's a good thing I didn't, because I didn't have time. I never played it.
Good point.
Carter, you didn't answer. Carter's saying you didn't answer my question. Is she listening right now? Carter, I don't know what you're talking about. You have to reply. Hey, it doesn't matter. Hey, whoa, hey, War, God of War. That was a thing. Hey, boy, do a thing for me, boy. Boy, it's what he yells a lot. He likes to yell, boy. We should talk about that game just a little bit. Now, I bought it and downloaded it and played it, and you rented it.
And, I rentified it.
Yeah, so what was that experience like? How'd that go?
Well, I should have bought it. Yeah. Okay, so this is how the Red Box works. You haven't played the Red Box game before, this is what you do. You go to the Red Box, you say, please give me the game that I want. Yeah. And they go, okay, here you go. And you go, okay, I want to keep it for 3 days. They go $7. You go 1 day, $3.50. No, I think like $3.05.
Yeah.
So it's definitely cheaper to get it for 3 days if you can. However, every day after that is another $3. I kept it for about 12 days?
No, maybe? That's like buying the game. You may as well have just bought the game.
Not quite.
Oh.
Not quite. Right. Almost. Right. Okay, so there's an option for buying from the Redbox. You can rent to own, essentially, from Redbox. So what you do is you just keep it for like 23 or 24 days, and essentially you've purchased the game. $69.99 would be the price that I would have paid if I had kept the rental agreement to own for Redbox. I probably should have just done that because at this point, I'm getting the game. There's no question I'm getting the game.
Well, that's 10 more bucks than you would pay for retail normally, right? So that's the right. Convenience of that process. You pay an extra 10 bucks on top.
That's not bad. I mean, that's not a bad risk take if you're looking at risk taking. I mean, yeah, because you get the option. Because lots of times, a game's not worth the amount you pay lots of times. In this case, though, fail. Yeah. Totally worth every dollar of the $59.99, or if you go for the Digital Deluxe Edition, $69.99, which is what I kind of want. Did you get the Digital Deluxe Edition with all the little extra stuff? No?
I never do that. I don't know why. Those things don't tempt me the way they tempt other people. I'm usually like, no, I just want the game. I don't need, any kind of fancy extras. For the most part, I just want to play the damn thing. And have me some good times. That's what I really want out of my gaming.
About the only time you can really tempt me for a Digital Deluxe Edition is if you give me a soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It has to be an impressive soundtrack. And so an extra $10 for that, I'm down.
Okay. No, I get it.
Sign me up.
But
in-game stuff, I don't like getting the in-game special stuff. I like earning it, I like getting in there and earning what I have. I don't want to start the game with some kind of special armor or something and going, look at me, I'm supposed to play the game for the first time, but I'm all decked out in future wear that should have been earned.
Right.
But that's me.
Right.
That's
I understand. Here's the problem though. Even the soundtracks, that stuff ends up showing up on streaming services. If you've got an account on Spotify or on Apple Music already, you're just like, well, what's the point? I'll just get it there. Cause that's totally there for this game. But, it's a hell of a thing. This game, I don't know what to say that hasn't already been said. by many, many others during the time that I was gone. And so we're a little late to the party here. And you know how games go. If you're not talking about it the day it comes out, then you're sort of old news by now.
I don't think you're going to share anything new to the people about what's going on. However, I would like to hear Scott's personal experience. Are you playing it on a PS4 or a regular PS4?
I'm playing. Oh, you mean a Pro versus Pro, a regular PS4? Pro, right. I'm playing it on a PS4 non-Pro.
Right, me too.
Which looks great. I don't have any complaints. I also don't have a 4K TV, so the resolution bump for a Pro doesn't really help me.
You don't have a 4K TV attached to the PS4, but you own a 4K TV, right?
It's still a big 1080p 55 inch, or 75 inch. Yeah. It hasn't convinced me. I've seen it. It looks nice. Maybe Christmas we'll think about it.
Like, all right.
I'm not in this huge rush to get a 4K TV.
But what about ultra high definition and the great contrast? Because finally we're getting plasma blacks on a regular TV. That's just great.
Yeah, and then they tell you the next year, oh, now it's 8K with OLED that's just as cheap. Like,
oh, I don't want to hear it, mister. I have to have every Apple that comes out every time they have a new phone. Well, I can have the latest. Why? Because it's so much better.
That's different, though. That's different. I use that phone every single day. My TV, I get in there once in a while and use it for stuff. Oh, yeah. It's no longer the center box or center screen of the house. It used to be. It's not anymore.
Right. Now, I probably use the TV more than just about anybody. But yeah, you know that.
You're watching your porn on there. That's where you get your porn.
You've seen the crazy amounts of TV that I've watched in movies. You know it's pretty much running nonstop.
Sure, no, I know what's up. Sure.
Right.
Well, God of War is great. I've only been able to play about 6 hours, though. So been really behind since I got home. I haven't had a chance to play much since I got back. I played a ton right before I left. Well, I played that 6 hours anyway. And you got to remember, it came out like a day and a half before I left. So I put as much time as I could before I got out of here. Since I've been back, I've just been bombed with catching up with everything, and I haven't had time. So I fully intend to get a whole bunch more hours in this week. My daughter's further than me, because of course she is. Yeah. But what I've played so far and what I've seen her do, and from what I've seen from the game in general, I think this thing is a modern classic. I think it's freaking fantastic. Maybe the best game of the year so far, probably will end up being there until maybe Red Dead can change my mind. But right now, God of War holds the torch, man.
I've got to say this. I think in combination with the I did not have the expectation of this game being as incredible as it is, with such a great story, with such depth.
Most people looking, didn't.
I underestimated it. And therefore, it's already got a leg up on Red Dead, because I expected Red Dead to be the game of the year. So now it's got something really heavy hitting to come up against.
Some serious competition, man.
Yeah, serious.
And who knew it would come out of Kratos, that he'd be your guy?
Kratos!
This old, thing that Sony does forever, and it's like, well, we need something new. Nope, drag old Kratos out and see what you can do with him. Well, turns out they can do a hell of a lot with him.
Drag his dusty old ass out and, I know, let's put him in Norse mythology this time. Let's see how that works out.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Let's give him a boy, and we'll have Christopher Judge from that show.
Stargate SG-1, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have him walk around going, boy, boy.
Once in a while he says, indeed, which is very, very teal. Yeah.
Hey, so I've played a little bit more than you, but you've played a pretty good bit, and I don't want to give any story spoilers away. However.
Are you past the temple you have to cleanse?
Yeah.
Okay. I've cleansed the temple. And you saw the light, and he went in the light and came out, and the kid had done some work. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
So you're past all that. All right. That's right. I'm just beyond that is where I ended.
Right. No story spoilers, but I will say this. The Kratos is a child. Man-child. Boy.
Jimmy. Nope. Jimmy.
What?
Friedmont. I don't know his name.
Friedmont. Yes, Friedmont. We're going to Friedmont.
What's his name? Little Jasper. Harry Houdini. I don't know his name. He's got a name. It's like Akira or contraceptive or something like that.
Right. I'm just worried where it's going currently. It's almost feeling like how I felt about Walking Dead.
Really?
And with the kid. And it's like, at some point you're like, dude, if you don't stop getting us in trouble,
You mean Walking Dead the show or Walking Dead?
Yeah,
the
Walking
comic?
Dead the show. Yeah.
All right.
Well, so you know.
Okay. Well, you're further than me. I don't know. I mean, I obviously the story is supposed to be this tense thing that teaches you how to manage the kid, and you worry about the kid, but you're also tough with the kid. I mean, I feel like they're leading me down a path where I'm going to get emotionally wrecked.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. Don't know myself, because I'm with you. I haven't gotten that far in the story. I mean, I've literally, I was thinking, oh man, I'm like so far along because I've put in so many hours, and I'm like, I'm only like on chapter 5 or 6. Yeah. And I'm like, there's way plenty of game left to play for me. And, but I just feel like there's a little bit of Carl in there, you know, where I feel like he's constantly in over going, look, Carl,
get out of there, Carl, stay in the house. Yeah, a little bit.
Have you seen the meme going around?
No.
There's a Kratos meme using that Carl meme where he's always leaning down. He's trying to talk to Carl. You've seen the one, right?
No, I haven't seen it. I've seen a bunch of memes, though. Like, I saw the Bobby Hill, Hank Hill one, which is pretty great.
That was great.
I've seen, I love a game that can be, A, as popular as this, and B, as rich with the memes as this one is being. Because it means it's more entertaining outside of the game sometimes than it is in the game, but... Yeah, the father-son dynamic, this is a big trope.
You've seen it.
I haven't seen it, dude.
Meme, Carl, you've seen it.
Nope.
I'm posting in the chat room.
You can do that. You can do that. Okay. But here's the thing. I have stayed away from these spoilers completely. Everything about this game, where I'm headed, right, and where everything ultimately goes, stayed spoiler-free. I haven't had anybody blow it for me. So,
yeah,
feeling good about it. I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to beat this game. It's going to be great.
One last thing about that.
Yeah.
Because this is such a spoiler type game, because it's a story driven. Anytime you talk about story, you're going to worry about spoilers.
Right.
We ran into the same problem with, we're talking about Infinity War.
Yeah.
The movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I've been playing, but I've actually ran off my oldest son out of the room plenty of times, other than gas related, because I'm further along in the story than he is.
Yeah.
And so he can't be in the same room as me. And so he has to leave. And that's the first time I've had that with a game where it's like, literally the kid's like, I can't see this part. I got to go.
Yeah. This keeps happening with Carter. She's further than me and she's playing and I walk in the room. She's like, Dad, I'm like, Carter, pause it. Right. Freaking don't show me what this is.
I'm curious how people out there listening are dealing with that. Are they, is it upsetting? Have you had any battles yet?
Well,
with your children?
I mean, probably not. And not everyone's got kids, obviously, but. I mean, everybody I've talked to, this universal claim. Nobody's saying, I haven't heard much in the way of criticism for this game. It seems pretty awesome from top to bottom. Everything I've done in it so far has been extremely enjoyable and never taxing or grindy. I'm just really into it. And I think I'm safe in saying, and I know this has been said before, I'm not the first to say it, but I want to agree with this publicly. That Leviathan axe may be the coolest weapon in the history of anywhere.
So good.
It's so much fun.
Since this isn't a gaming podcast, since this is a gaming podcast, can we give Infinity War spoilers? Can we do that?
No, you can't. This would be a bad place for that, too, it turns out, because those people also listen to the show. So that's bad. That turns out
that's
bad.
But I wanted to talk about the axe.
No, you can't. You can't do it.
All right, fine.
It's not allowed. Anyway, congratulations, Sony. You freaking killed it. And we love it.
What? Okay, so there's got to at least be one more game in the hunt for game of the year. And I have one that I was already looking at to compete.
Okay. What do you got?
With Red Dead Redemption, Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. When does that come out? That's soon, isn't it?
Yes. It's a little later this year, not too much further. But I was really looking forward to that. But now going back and looking at the trailers and seeing how heavy hitting God of War is, I'm a little worried that I'm not going to have the fun.
The wherewithal to... Well, I mean, I don't know. Here's the problem. This Detroit game is made by those people that made other games that I didn't really get into.
Oh, that's one of the games I actually played this week, because it is free on the PlayStation Plus this month.
It's a demo.
No, no. Beyond... No, not that one. I'm talking about they made Beyond.
Oh, Beyond Souls. The Two Souls deal.
From 2013, yeah.
Got it. Some people really like that, but it's a divisive game. A lot of people don't like it. So my thinking is this might just be great until you got to do some of the things people don't like about those older games they made.
Right.
And then you're like, not really into this movement control, six access garbage stuff, whatever. And who knows? But then again, they may really pull it off here, and it looks amazing. It looks incredible.
You ought to have seen me playing Beyond Two Souls because I had completely – no one uses the, you know, the motion control part of the six-axis controller of any games recently that I can think of that I played.
Yeah.
And so there was – I was actually playing it, and it pulled up a little – threw up a little icon of what to do on the screen, and I was like, I don't even know what is that motion? What am I supposed to – am I supposed to – is it dual stick? What are you supposed to be doing here? I don't get it.
Yeah. And they make you do like, oh, here's a shoulder button thing and tap those over and over. Like, it's just a weird – it's almost like it's like quick action the video game, because in a lot of ways it's just quick action events. It's hurry up and hit A twice. Hurry up and tap X a bunch of times or else you're not going to get out of this. Like, they made an entire game out of that with Beyond.
How do you feel about those? Do you feel like they're real games?
No.
Or do you feel like it's just an interactive story?
It's an interactive story. That's a good way of putting
it. Oh, we're going to get some hate mail for that one. Way to go, Scott.
I think people will believe me. I mean, they'll agree with me. It's an interactive story. And in a lot of cases, that's fine. I don't mind it. I'm not going to be the problem with this game, but I just have a feeling that this isn't going to be God of War level.
Like, no, it's not. I thought I wanted, because I was really enjoying story-driven games, and I thought we had kind of reached a plateau for those storytelling games, and I was okay with doing the simple motion stuff. But then when God of War came along, it was like, hey, look, you can do both.
It was
killer.
Yeah, so I'm highly interested in it, but I don't know until we see. But okay, here's what I'll predict. You ready for this prediction?
Give it.
Game of the year will be a competition at the end of this year between — here will be your five candidates so far.
Okay.
Now, something else may come out and blow our minds, but this is where I think it's going to be. For most websites, most media outlets, they're going to say God of War, which will probably win.
Right.
This thing, Detroit Become Human.
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Totally.
And I'll bet you that some sites and some places will lump Far Cry 5 in there. Some won't. Another divisive game, you know?
Right. It's a good point.
That may happen. That. And then, what was the other game that came out that I was all stoked about?
Any love
about?
For Sea of Thieves?
No, think? Sea of Thieves isn't — no one's talking about Sea of Thieves anymore because it's grindy and nobody cares anymore.
Right.
Like, Sea of Thieves is cool, don't get me wrong, and I hope they keep supporting it and it gets radder and cooler as time goes on. But everyone I talk to is kind of done with Sea of Thieves. They're just sort of like, meh.
Right.
And it's and they don't give them years later unless they have an award for, like, best improved game or something. Okay, I'm looking at some
most
game,
improved.
Looking at some gameplay here in chat room, you can see it. This is a lot of that other game you mentioned. There was just like, hold the two triggers and move to the left.
Oh, Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, there's a lot of this happening.
Yeah, that's tough. That worries me, because I never got to play Beyond Two Souls, and I had played, what was it, Heavy Rain?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoyed it. It, for some reason, same. It was new enough of experience, and I played on my PC, and it was enough detective story that it felt good. This one has kind of a timeline jumping thing, and it's like, I really feel locked in to the whole motion thing. It's just like, you got to pull to the right and to the left.
Well, this definitely, this. I mean, as we see right here, he's definitely got detective. I mean, this whole thing he's done so far in this demo I'm watching is detective work. So maybe you'll end up really liking that. I don't know. If the story's compelling enough, then I don't care how I interact with it. That's fine. If the story's not, then what I do with the controller in the intervening moments is going to matter. And if it sucks, then that's a bummer. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I'm fascinated by the world they're painting. We'll see. That game could be really cool. All right. Let's talk about some other stuff we're playing. I did get a chance to play some small things, dude. Some little... What's that sound? Is that you?
Oh, I don't know. Is it?
Oh, you broke up for a second. You're back now.
I'm back now.
I don't know what that was. Blazing Beaks. You ever hear of this?
I have not, but it fascinates me because that is a fantastic name. It makes me... Without seeing anything about the game, it just makes me think of some phoenix birds that are going to just tear up something.
Well,
am I close?
It's close-ish. Sure.
All right.
Okay. So basically it's a roguelike dual stick shooter, and you do it with some birds, And you know, lots
is it Angry Birds for roguelikes?
It's not Angry Birds because you're not flying in the air or anything. You're running around with a gun. Okay, okay, so let's say you choose the duck or the chicken or the rooster or whatever it is. You run around with this thing.
Pigeon.
Yes, pigeon, sure. Why not? I don't know if there's a pigeon. Actually, I haven't gotten that far. Yeah. But you're some kind of bird in every scenario, and you run around. Right now, I'm a or what's the white chicken with the red thing on top? Is that a rooster?
The white chicken with the
you know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
That little guy's my favorite, and everything you do is randomly generated. So you come out.
It's called a comb, by the way.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like Enter the Gungeon. You ever play that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, it's like Enter the Gungeon, except it's these birds, and you're killing these slime creatures and these other bomb things, and you're trying to get from level to level. And to kill everything while you're there and not die. It's hard, so you die a lot, but when you do, you level up and take some experience with you and any money you collected. So, again, a roguelike. It's, you know, you're going to come back and be stronger than you were before. You're going to unlock new weapons and all of that. The levels are new every time. As best I can tell, they're, I wouldn't say procedurally. Well, I guess it is kind of a procedurally generated kind of thing. But the enemies get harder. It looks super cute and simple on the outside, but it's got this nice kind of 16-bit look to it. And right. It's really fun. I totally dig it. The developer sent me a key for it, so full disclosure there. They were...
You should ask for another one.
I tried on this
you
one.
Should, you
never
should
heard
say
back.
Thank you, may I have another?
It may happen. Who knows? But you pick up your little life or little life things if you get hurt, so you might get lucky and survive. Watch out for the spikes. Go in the door and get out of there. Go to the next level. Gets harder and harder every time you move up. And
I'm trying to figure out what you're fighting exactly, because some of it looks like toads and some of it looks like flying fish.
Some of these are like, what that thing is shooting there with the eggs that come out. There's eggs in that creature, and those eggs explode when they poop. So there's like acid mushroom things that you kill the mushroom. Or you kill the mushroom and it goes and squirts acid, and then if you step in the acid, you get hurt. Lots of
kinda
stuff
like,
that makes no sense.
I kind of like games that have these weird, nondescript characters.
Oh, yeah, no, this thing has no manual. It's just like, here's a world that makes no sense. Have fun.
So the Mallard Duck kind of looks like Duck Game, right? Is that my imagination?
Ish. I mean, Duck Game's a lot more simple, I think. There's more to this art
this
than
is,
that.
This is more 16-bit, maybe even 32-bit type of...
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, obviously they're just making it sort of... It's just the aesthetic of it. It actually runs, you know... It does things that you couldn't have done back then. But it's really cool. I like it. Really got into it and played it for a ton. I'm going to keep playing it. Lots of hidden doors. Try to find the key. Get inside those places. This guy that I'm watching play right now is playing with a keyboard and mouse. That sucks. Don't do that. Get a controller. Play with a controller. Because the controller's like, oh, there's giant frogs. Watch out for those. Holy shit. Okay, he's invisible now. Kill the frog. Oh, he's dead. All right.
Now, were you able to play with multiplayer yet, or is it just all you?
No, it is all me so far, but I would like to play co-op. It's co-op.
Local, looks like.
Is it local only? I think it is local only.
Yeah, only see local multiplayer, local co-op, which is too bad because it would be fun to play with you.
I'll bet you this ends up on PlayStation or Xbox or something.
Oh yeah,
this is too good. Maybe Switch it even
good,
be good.
Good reviews so far.
Oh yeah, no.
Except for this one dick can't play any character other than Duck.
Then
can't
he's
select
stupid.
Him. Please fix.
No, he's dumb then because I played multiple characters, including this. Like I said, the chicken. The chicken was mine. Right. Anyway, it's a fun little romp. I dig it. It's worth your time. You know I like games like this, so it's kind of dumb, easy pick for me. I like it a lot. And thanks for the dev for sending me a key. That was nice of you.
Absolutely.
What else you got going on over there? What's this Black the Fall? Yeah, we talked about this on the show this morning. Yeah. What is this?
Yeah, we talked about this, but we tried to give it away this morning during our Babel Royale trivia that me and Scott do with emceed by Brian Ibbett on the morning stream.
Yeah.
And we tried to give this away, but we couldn't do it. So we have to go to the next person. Black the Fall. So let's see how to describe this. It's weird. How about that?
Okay.
So you're in communist Russia, and you're it reminds me visually, as odd as it may sound, it reminds me of how Little Nightmare looked. It's very dark, but it's got some really colorful areas. And you're like I wouldn't necessarily say a prisoner, but you are a slave to communism, and you're inside a building where I started anyway. I haven't gotten so far. And when I start in this building is a puzzle game, and each area has to be cleared by your brains, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If you don't figure it out right away, you get your brains blown out by Big Brother.
Why? Because you got your brain. What's in your head to make your head pop? You got some kind of bomb in there or something?
Actually, no. What you are is you're this kind of cute little. He's kind of a. I don't want to say cute. I wish I could describe this character better.
He's not cute. Like a dude, and he's on a bike right now, and I wouldn't.
Right. He kind of reminds me. If you've ever played Team Fortress, you know there is the spy. He kind of reminds me of the spy.
In
how he looks.
Okay.
But it's a side-scrolling game.
Yeah.
So each area you go into is lit up by red areas. You want to avoid the red areas because if you trigger a red area, typically, what'll happen is you'll get mowed down. And I mean, there's no chance for escape.
Yeah.
They pretend to give you a chance to escape. I've tried many times. Once you've triggered the death event, it's over for you.
Okay.
And it just blows you away. So there's like cameras and guns stationed just about everywhere, or at least a guard.
Yeah.
And once you've been detected, you get killed. And every area is a death, rinse, repeat, because you're never going to get it right the first time. When you go into an area, you go like, okay, what do I need to do here? Okay, do I need to walk over here? Mm-hmm. And you get blown away, mm-hmm. and you have to start over again. Right. So that's a lot of fun.
It's like Limbo and that other game.
Yeah, it's
Limbo.
Actually by the Limbo?
Limbo. I don't know. Are they the same?
Yeah, I think I want to say the developers were the. I think they did. Am I thinking that wrong?
I don't know. There was another game they did last year. No Way Up or Out the Old Way or
right.
In and Out or what was it
in
called?
In and Out something.
Something in.
But yes, that is a good comparison. That is,
I'm getting that vibe here for sure.
But it's a lot more complex. The elements don't seem to be as, you know, Limbo is very organic and outside. This is very sterile and industrial.
Yeah.
And Black the Fall, I don't know what it means. I can't wait to find out. But you're constantly facing these guards who are kind of hilarious. And because when you come to a guard area, there's usually already a bunch of other guys that look like you, right?
Mm-hmm,
except they're not you.
Yeah.
And they're being abused, and they're made to ride these stationary bikes in some of the levels that are my favorite. So in order to generate power, these guys are riding their little bikes. And you, at a certain point, can come along and actually mind control them. Mm. So you'll like tag them, and you go, oh, come on, dude, I need you to move. And you'll get them off, and they'll walk to another area so that you can blend in, because it's all about hiding, right? It's definitely stealthy in that manner.
If this isn't the same dev as those other two games I mentioned, Inside, that's the other game. Thanks, the Wraith.
Yeah, Inside. Yeah, it is. I'm almost positive it is.
If it's not, I'd be shocked, because this is very similar to that style of game, which isn't a bad thing. Those games were great. I enjoyed
it. And it's on the Switch now.
Yeah.
As of this year. And if I would actually get this on the Switch, but I picked it up during the Humble Bundle, I think back in, when did I get this? Oh, the monthly bundle for February.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about it for a while. It's been on my list, but there was a lot of good games in February, so I finally got to tackle it this week. I haven't probably played about 2 hours.
Yeah.
I would like to give it, I'd like to give it more, because there's not much of a story there. It's very loose, but I am curious to see where my guy is trying to get to. And I want to see, you know, how big the bad guys get. And so far, it's keeping me entertained.
It seems neat. Looks cool.
It is neat.
Yeah.
I'll
play this game. This is a game
You'll play it.
Yeah.
You play it. And it's like, what, $9?
Yeah. It's cheap. Well, $10
cheap.
But yeah.
They're giving it away.
Oh, I can't believe that's the same dev then, because they sell their games for like $39. I wonder if it's just somebody who was hugely inspired by them or something.
That's a good question.
We can actually look this up, you know.
Right.
See.
Oh, look, they do say More Like. So More Like listed is Inside, Little Nightmares, like I said. And so it's got a real dark, it's kind of got a dark humor to it, because the masters or guards, as you will, are not afraid to beat up the individuals.
It looks this is pretty roundly received well, but it says is developed by Sand Sailor Studio. That is not the same people. However, it looks like it's very influenced by it.
Yeah, it is. It has some kind of relation to him. I would not be surprised if some of the people on Sand Sailor Studio are also part of the other developer. I would be shocked if not.
Shocking is what that shocked. Would be. $10 is what you find, folks. Could have. No, sorry, that's 15. Right. $10 is what you could have spent this weekend on a copy of Off-World Trading Company. That's right.
What?
It was on sale and also had a free weekend, so you could play it. The PC-based game where you build a Mars colony and try to maximize your profits. And it's created by the ex-lead developer of Civilization 4 is the guy who did this. It started as a Kickstarter and built out from there. And you go to Mars there, you know. And and you spend some time there, turns out. And
you spend some time and you try to do some trading. See, that's what you do.
You get in there and you do some stuff. Anyway, it is.
It's got a lot of DLC.
Oh, it's got a good amount of DLC. Plus, it's got mod support and some other stuff. So there's some cool stuff going on. But basically, the way the game works is this: you leave Earth's confines to help colonies that have been put on other planets. There's also a moon scenario. And there's some, the main one is Mars that you're on for this bit. And, it's like a city builder and kind of a management sim.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about the money. And normally I don't like that.
It's all about the money.
Usually when things are about money management, I'm not in because that isn't what's fun for me or usually in these games. Like I'm not good at it is what I should say. I shouldn't say I don't like that. I'm terrible at it. So I go into debt a lot, and I'm constantly borrowing against whatever bank is in the game or, you know, those sorts of things. And I decided with this one, because I really like the vibe of it and the look of it, and the way it feels is really cool, I decided I was going to really go in on learning it and not just do the cursory look at the tutorial and then just try to play and cheat and use easy codes and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to really kind of go for what was possible here. And so that's what I've decided to do. And I started a campaign, and I'm actually doing all right. It's tricky, though. Like, you might put up a bunch of solar panels to get energy to your colony thing or to your factories and stuff. But then a big, giant windstorm hits Mars, and there's no sun for a long time. And so your energy goes way down, which means your production goes down, which means you have to buy goods from others. And you constantly got this, like, screen up that lets you buy and sell, sell the stuff that you're mining. And
sell.
Yeah, like that. It's like stock market stuff, which again, normally I'm terrible at these and I'm probably still terrible, but I made kind of a goal with this. I want to get better and play it for real.
How truthful is this? Because I played Civ 4. How truthful is this? Campaign length, 3 to 4 hours per CEO.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
Okay.
That's about how long you could play a full game with a win scenario. And the win scenario is normally shipping a huge package back to Earth or some huge amount of money to somebody or something. And you have different factions, like you said, that you can be. And I just really like it so far. I don't think I'm good, though. So I would never play. I'm not about to play multiplayer with this yet because I'll just get my ass handed to me by somebody. Right. But it's a fun little management sim where it's like, oh, I gotta mine aluminum and then I gotta get some water source and that's under, there's some weird veins under the planet and I gotta tap those and now I can build this other thing and now I'm producing silicone, now I'm making electronics parts and those sell for a lot of money on the market and I'm like the guy I'm
and then you go and then you go half rations
the video I'm watching right now, this guy is somehow staying out of debt completely. I'm like in 27.
I hate people like that.
I'm like $27,000 in debt right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. I'm not good at any of those games, but I do like playing them for some odd reason. It's very satisfactory to some region of my brain.
Right.
And what is that all about? Why? I don't know. Civ 4, because I'll tell you what, the campaign length in that game for me was more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool though. I would recommend this game to people who are really good at Sims, and then I think I would recommend it to people who are more like me, who just, you have fun in these sandboxes, but you're not great at them. I think you'll be like me and you'll do just fine.
Right. Now this is a cross-platform multiplayer. Are you playing this on any other?
Well, it's just two. It's just PC, Mac, and Linux. I think. I don't think it's.
Oh, that's not cross-platform. That's like. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, those are, I don't know. Those are all PC-like platforms, I guess.
Those are platforms, Brian.
Yeah. They sort of are. But I'm going to work.
I go console PC. That's what I think.
Sure, sure. But there is always a little strategy RTS 4X kind of itch I have, and this is scratching it. So if you didn't get the deal, I guess it's back up to 20. But for $10, I couldn't resist. And I've had it on my wish list forever, so I just finally picked it up. Gave that a couple hours yesterday. Brian, tell me about Ghost of a Tale. What the hell's that? What's this?
Oh, you know, I've talked about Ghost of a Tale.
Oh, this is the ninja mouse that's... I remember this.
Yeah, that mouse game.
Yeah, yeah.
That adventure mouse game. I had to dip my toe back in there. I scurried back on over into that action RPG.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because unlike riding a bike, if you don't play an action RPG for a month, you got to start all over. I had no idea what I was doing. I forgot all the threads of story. And it took me a good hour just to get back to even understand what I was doing.
Yeah. Is that just mechanically you had trouble, or you were just couldn't remember characters or any of that, or what? All of it?
It was all of it. Okay. Because it was all the way down to, was I playing with this good with a controller, or was I doing this with a keyboard? I eventually decided that the keyboard worked the best, but I'm pretty sure last time I played it with a controller, and there's a lot of backtracking. So I was like, but I didn't know where the regions were, even though I had maps, and I just couldn't seem to figure out if I had completed one task or not. And so I'd have to go find a quest giver, and I would ask them, and they would send me on a quest. And then I'd realize that I didn't ask the right question, because if I had went back to it immediately, I could have turned in the quest because I already completed it. So I was off trying to do quests I already completed. And I'm like, wait a minute, I've already done this.
Well, why were you playing this? I'm confused. What changed?
I never completed it.
Oh, so you're just playing it again.
I'm never completed. I wanted to come back to it, but I got distracted. I forget what came along. Something else came along.
I thought the point was you're going to tell us, oh, there's a whole new thing now, and they've added a whatever. But you're just saying it's the same game.
No, I'm just saying that if you're going to play an action RPG game, I think you should play it all the way through. This is advice for me, not for you.
Well, when you say action RPG game, that's usually just like Diablo style hack and slash, whatever.
Yeah, somewhat more this adventure. Is not really hack and slash. This has got a lot more story to it.
Yeah, this sounds more like
they define it as action RPG, but I've gone back and forth with people on that, and I don't want to have that argument. Oh my god.
Yeah, we could get we could go deep on that.
Yeah, but that's a fun game. Do it. Check it out if you have not got Ghost of a Tale. Pick it up. It's super cute. You got this really cute mouse, and every time somebody comes by and sees me play it, they go, oh, look at that cute mouse.
Oh,
I'm like, I know. Yeah. He's so cute. Who's
doing that? Who's coming up to you and saying that?
Is
that
all kinds of people. I leave my back door open and people just come through.
Okay. That's cool.
We have a lot of neighbor kids. You have neighbor kids.
I have neighbor kids. Sure.
Yeah. And we're central.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We were the Kool-Aid house for most of my kids growing up. So that meant they could just come in, come out, go out, play my video games, drink my food, eat my food, drink my liquids, and then leave.
We're the little Debbie Kick House.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. That's a good way to keep track of your own kids is the main thing. That's
right. Here's a Debbie Kick for you, a Debbie Kick for you.
So I also got a Oculus Go. It arrived on Monday.
I am so jealous.
Yeah, or not Monday. When did I get it? Saturday. Whatever it was. Today's Monday. I got it, and it's super cool. The idea being that this is a standalone VR system that does not have to be tethered to a PC, nor does it have to have a phone dropped into it, the way you'd see Gear VR, some of these other portable solutions. And it's just like a standalone functional thing. It's got really nice optics. They're an upgrade from previous gen stuff, including the Rift and the Vive, although the Vive 2 is better. Optics wise, and that I mean resolution of those optics and some of the cool tech they're using there anyway, but you know, processor wise, this thing's like a really fast phone or something.
That's what I was curious about. Yeah. So games, you buy off the Oculus store. Mm-hmm. Is that it? Mm-hmm. Is that how that works?
Well, okay. You can, yeah, if you decide you want what they got there. Sure.
Is there other options?
Well, that's a good question. I assume there's a way for me to sideways hack stuff in here. I don't actually know that though. I have no
right,
idea.
Right.
It may be,
but
kind
so
of
far
thing.
Your experience has been just from the Oculus store.
Oh,
right?
It's been great. Yeah, I go in there. There's a ton of free stuff. There's a bunch of other things. Like if you want to go, I want to see the Grand Canyon in a VR 360 video tour. They have that on. Or you just go to the websites that feature that kind of stuff and just watch it.
Okay.
There's a Netflix app. There's a Hulu app. So you're sitting there in a fake
YouTube
living
app.
Room. You not yet. No YouTube app.
Oh,
yeah. But you can sit in there and just watch giant screen TV of something, and you're in this fake space, and there's apps where you can hang around with each other. And it's all stuff the desktop VR things have been doing for a long time. The point is low, low price, mm-hmm. cool tech, totally works, and it's completely independent of having to plug it into anything. I mean, other than charging the battery. But I got 3.5 hours out of UC on the night, and I still was only at like 40%.
Wow. So is it heavy, light? What you got?
Light-ish. Light-ish. I mean, it's still it's heavier than wearing a hat or a pair of glasses, but it's not like the Vive is way heavier.
Like right. You had mentioned, one of the things that I really – there's a couple of different positions when I'm playing VR. It's either going to be standing up, full motion, interactive. Okay, mm-hmm. so we got that. It's that room scale type play. Then you mm-hmm. got the sit down and play, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's one that I have yet to find a real comfortable experience using my Windows Mixed Reality, which is the I want to watch TV and I want to lay down.
Yeah, you can totally do that in this.
Okay, yeah. So it's not like in the back of your head or anything like where it's uncomfortable.
No, I mean, there's a strap, but it's totally comfortable. In fact, I'd say laying down is the most comfortable because all the weight is just centered here and it's not pulling down or whatever. It's just kind of resting there. I laid back and watched a comedy special and a couple of episodes of Cheers this way, watching
also
Netflix.
A comedy special.
And you're like in the room, you know, looking around. You got a couch there you're sitting on. There's like a remote on a fake table in front of you. And it just gives you this feeling like there's a big giant screen in there and you can change the backgrounds and make it look like whatever you want. But as a media consuming device, it's pretty interesting. They have a 32 gig and a 64 gig. I got the 64 gigs, only an extra $50. But for $200 at an entry level, that's really low.
Is the 64 gig for performance or is it for storage?
It's for storage. It's just a memory difference. That's all. Just RAM. It's just storage RAM. That's it.
Right.
Or I should say flash memory. Yeah.
So I would definitely go with the 64 gig in that case.
It's like a phone.
I'm curious how large.
It's like a phone. You want the 32 gig or the 64 gig? Same thing.
64 gig. How much more is it? What?
Yeah. It's only 50 more. So I did that. I hopped for that. But for, you know, $249 maximum, $200 entry, it's pretty freaking inexpensive. And there's no question in my mind that Oculus/Facebook are just eating it on this because this is really hard to put out in the market that cheap at this stage of the game anyway. Gaming wise, which is why we would talk about it here, jury's out. The only game I've really played is this, what's it called? Land's End. It's made by
my shirts from there.
Yeah, it does sound like them. It's the Monument Valley people that did the Monument Valley 1 and 2 on iOS and Android. And those are really cool games. They have a knack for this sort of thing. It's not like those games in terms of perspective or whatever. It's this first-person kind of thing. But it's pretty cool. It reminded me of playing Myst or something. I liked it a lot. I'm not even done with it, but I played a ton of it. That's right, yo. And then a bunch of other little weird experiences, some VR roller coaster crap and, you know, a bunch of free stuff. It's a really cool device. I think for that price point, it's kind of dumb not to get. If you've already got a big desktop set up and you're loving it,
You do, right?
Well, sort of. My Vive is in various situations right now where I can't get it to work with the room scale I have right now. So that's the other thing. If you have desktop VR, sure, it's powerful. That's true. But it's expensive, it's space taking, and setting it up every time you need to do anything is a huge giant pain in the ass. Adjusting it sucks, like having those cords all around you sucks. It's kind of sucks when it comes to the hoops you have to jump through just to use the damn thing. This thing, you put it on your head, you hit the on, you don't even have to hit the on button, it senses that you're moving it and turns on. You put it on your head, you're in, you just go do what you gotta do, comes with the remote is in 3D in the space, it's positionally tracked. So you can look down and see it and rotate it in your hand and look at it. It's just the one. You can also, tie a controller to it. So if you're going to play a game that needs a controller, you can just use an Xbox or a PlayStation controller or whatever, or some Bluetooth controller. And those all work. I haven't tried those yet, but that's all part of it. And it's just a turnkey solution. Put it on, you're done.
Right.
It's the right step in the right direction, I believe.
Yeah. I'm glad that there's finally a complete stepping stone path to any VR experience you want to have. I mean, you can go down as far as Google Cardboard, which is one level of experience that's not that great, but hey, look what it cost. Mm-hmm. And then you have the next level, which is this is kind of a little bit maybe above that right? So, I mean, this is somewhere well above that, maybe. What do you think? Like, well above cardboard? Or
Well above cardboard.
Yeah. And then you got the Windows Mixed Reality, which I'm trying to figure out if it's above or behind, because certainly there's an advantage to Windows Mixed Reality in the fact that you get to use your hardware, so you have probably a greater possibility of games. But it's not as intense as some of the other ones that have to have room sensors, because the Windows Mixed Reality don't have to have room sensors. You can kind of pick it up, but it is still tethered to the computer.
Sure.
I'm liking both of those ideas of what you get.
Yeah. I mean, I would say on the console, the PlayStation VR is really good for what it is. On the desktop, I think Vive and Oculus are just about head to head. The only reason I'd give Vive an advantage is it's way more open sourcey. Steam is its main hub, but you can kind of do whatever you want. It's kind of an open standard.
Above or below PSVR? What do you think?
Oh, above these. What do you mean? Okay. What do you mean? The thing I'm wearing now above? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the Oculus Go versus the PSVR. What do you think?
Having used both, it's definitely got better optics than the PSVR. Oh, yeah. It's got better optics than anything on the market right now. That won't last very long.
No, because everybody will steal it.
But they're higher resolution per eye, like all that stuff. A little better here. But the processing power of the actual device isn't up to snuff with somebody's fancy video card either. So it's a little bit of a give and take. On the whole, I'm very optimistic about what this is as an impetus for more competition in this space, more portable solutions. They get smaller, they get lighter, they get cheaper. Like, that's the direction we need to go with VR and AR for that matter. And we'll get there. Some people have said to me, well, just get a Gear VR. It's easier. No, you got to put your phone in it. That's stupid. You're going to put it in there going, oh, I'm really enjoying this kind of half-assed experience. Hold on, I got to take a call from my grandma. Unzip it, take it out. Like, come on, dude.
Hey, we were at a place, right?
No, it's and fine. That was the best solution. It's a stepping stone. I don't have a problem with that. It's a stepping stone. But people getting all weird and putting their feet in the sand about, oh, I should go Gear VR over this. No, you still got to get an expensive phone. It's not optimal, and it's weird. Yeah. It's a weird human interaction. This thing is plug it in, put it on, go. You don't even plug it in. I'm sorry. Don't even plug it in. Just put it on and go. Done. Anywhere you want to go.
That's the name of the thing.
I'm going to take it outside tonight on my patio, and I'm going to lay down on a chair thing that we got, lounger deal. And I'm going to put that on my head, and I'm going to catch up on Westworld while I'm just laying out there. It's going to be great.
So in the app, I haven't seen the Netflix app yet. So does it have... Which app are you using, actually? Westworld's not on Netflix. No, what's it on?
In this case, I'm going to use Plex because they don't have HBO Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. So when you watch it on the Plex viewer, are you going to use the curved screen, or are you going to use the flat?
I could use either or. I don't know. I haven't really tried the curved. I could try it.
Right.
You can resize it.
I'm not a big fan of the curved. I've tried the curved, and it still bothers me a little bit.
You can curve it. You can flatten it. You can round it, make it rounded on the edges. You can send it way back in the room. You can bring it up huge and close. You can do whatever you want.
So
it's super easy and cool, and it's very immersive, and I like it. The only downside is, while I'm in that position, for all I know, some kid is leaning over the fence with a BB gun and shooting me in the nuts, and there's nothing I can do about it.
That is the great fear. I mean, we had to get over the fear of wearing headphones and somebody running you over when you're walking.
Yeah.
And now we got to get over the fear of, because I will do that when I'm home alone. When I'm home alone, I usually have to have a safety person for me. I have to have somebody in the house I trust.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I do VR, because if I don't trust anybody in the house, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Why not? Because I'll constantly be lifting it up. I'm like, all right, where's everybody at? Yeah. Where are you guys at? Yeah. I actually, what I did in the Windows Mixed Reality, I put my my webcam up, and I have an external webcam, so I can put it where I want to. And I actually attached it to my headset, and I turned it on so I can monitor it while I'm in VR to make sure no one's going to come up and, you know, like you said, punch me in the nuts or something crazy.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants getting punched
in the
nuts.
That's the reason why we need to get the HoloLens here quicker.
Right. There's also HoloLens is pretty cool. Like, I actually think AR is the end all be all at some point.
Sure. Yeah.
But I like the idea that we kind of can have both. I like immersive worlds. Yeah. I like being able to kind of hide out or whatever. And this thing gives you that feeling. So my overall review so far, after only having it however many days, 4 days or something, it's pretty, pretty wicked cool. I even checked Twitter on it, which is crazy.
What?
So I'm sitting in there looking at a big virtual browser and just kind of going, yeah, it's like a big building in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, look at this over here. We got a response from so-and-so. And you can reply and type and, you know, do all your hooch. It's cool.
That's my favorite thing, actually. That's one thing I don't talk about a lot with my VR, but you can. It's got, you can, in certain apps, you can have a little finger and a keyboard in front of you, and you can type replies. I've done that on Twitter and Messenger.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
It's a good time.
Just kind of goofing around.
Nothing wrong with it. Hey, tell me about Raccoon. What the hell's that?
Raccoon. So, okay.
Sounds terrible, but go ahead.
It's terrible. It's not bad. It's one of those top-down, two-dimensional kind of games.
I have this.
You probably do. It's from the Laura, what's her name? She worked video game development for Blizzard for a while.
Oh, she did?
She did. She did some stuff for, what did she do? Oh, I can't, I'm forgetting it. I definitely know she did stuff.
I have this on Steam. Somebody sent me a code for this. A hospital boy comes to terms with his own story by traveling with his mom to beautiful fantasy worlds, ultimately helping his fellow patients find closure by walking a mile in their shoes.
It's nothing like that. So let me tell you how the game really is. No, that's one description of it, but it's the story is told through, speech dialogues, pop-ups, and there's no real like action or anything. You're constantly trying to solve puzzles to provide solutions for other patients who are dying. And apparently, I haven't finished the story yet. I'm still probably like about 5 hours in of a 10-hour game.
That's a pretty long game for a little.
It's very long. It really is. It's mostly just going around and pushing buttons, going up to things and activating them, because it's a very simple control set. You just you know it's four directions. You walk up to an object, you hit an action button. If it responds, you read what it says, and you go to the next area and try to figure out how to perform that in that specific order.
It's like adventure games. It's like it's like that Detroit game, just an old school way of doing it.
Old school way of doing it. Always cracks me up though, because the top down part, everybody's got the cutesy little kid kind of, pop vinyl looking look,
Yeah.
And then they throw up the dialogue, and it's always like, you talk to mom and she's like super hot.
Yeah.
She's all like all drawn out and everything. It's like, hey, I'm super sexy, mom. But so that's kind of weird. I don't like doing that. But yeah. But you kind of go back and forth in this game between the depressing world of the hospital, where you're running across and meeting and speaking to dying people who are either dying. They all have a horrible backstory. They're either dying from a disease, or they're there with someone who is dying and they have a lot of regret because they made some kind of mistake. And so you read through their stories and you build up all that information about the stories. And then you get to go to this mystical world that is almost like a parallel universe. This very Wizard of Oz, because you've got all the downbeat stuff in the reality, and then you have this mystery world, but you still have the same characters. So you meet these other characters, and they're kind of like cats, but they're the will of these people that are dying. And so inside this mystical world, you have the will of these people with the same names living out their fantasies. And so they may send you in to solve a puzzle in the real world, they'll have impact on the fantasy world, and stuff happens also in the fantasy world that happens in the real world. My end goal is to meet a giant cat god of some sort, he looks like, hopefully get him to grant me a wish.
This is also your real life goal as well.
This is your right to meet a giant cat to provide me one wish.
Yeah.
Right now he's napping. He's taking a cat nap. His guards won't let me talk to him until I've performed some other task.
Interesting.
But it looks like I was thinking when I first started playing, I'm like, oh, this is so on rails. I'm not going to have any fun with this. This is just, go here, do this, go here, do that. It's going to be so grindy.
Yeah.
But it turns out I just keep playing. I don't know why. I just keep coming back and reading the little stories. And sometimes I don't even want to read the stories, but I read them anyway.
Well, they have the reviews are really strong on Steam.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
They have overwhelmingly positive on there.
In addition to talking to the patient, you also have a lot of notes and stuff and books that you find that reveal another bigger story that's going on, because the hospital recently had suffered, I believe, a flooding of some sort from what I've understood so far. And you're kind of following that story arc as well. So you're following about maybe six or seven stories.
Weird.
And so it kind of, I think, maybe keeps it interesting.
Weird. All right. Well, that go check it out, you guys. Raccoon.
But not spelled like a raccoon.
It's
not like
R,
a trash panda.
It's R-A-K-U-E-N is how you
right.
spell
I got,
that.
I got this from the Humble Indie Bundle.
Yeah.
Last month, the same time I got Action Hank. I'm going to talk about that for a third time.
No,
this week.
That guy, this guy's got to yell at us again. That guy was so pissed. He was so
Action
mad.
Hank again, really?
He was so mad that we talked about Hank twice.
Hey, one last thing before we close out on my side. Yeah. Rayman Legends. Why didn't you tell me that game was so much freaking fun?
It's a great game, and I did tell you that. It's an amazing
you
game.
You did, and I think my main complaint was I don't want to play it because he doesn't have any appendages. His arms and feet flail about as though they were not attached to his body.
But this has always been true of him. That is Rayman. He is
right.
He is dude without arms or legs, just hands and feet. And had no neck either, by the way. Zero neck.
He didn't. What? And he's not even a character. But I'll tell you what. Once I got past that, and it was the free game on PlayStation Plus this week as well, or this month, and it was a lot of fun. And I was pleased to find out I didn't have to play just Rayman because this is Rayman Legends.
Mm.
I got to play other characters, unlocked them, and I immediately
picked that dopey fat looking bean purple guy. He's pretty good.
He's one of my favorites. I like the frog looking thing. I don't know exactly what he is, but he dances around. But he has his arms are attached.
Yeah,
and he smacks stuff.
Yeah, no, the art style is awesome on everybody except Rayman.
Yeah, I think we could have just skipped him if they had just called it like Legends.
They
I would
just,
have been.
They just can't though, because this is a Ubisoft thing. He's their platformer. He's their Sonic. He's their Mario. Like you got to do it, but they've stuck with this ugly design of him for so long that the art and the rest of this game is incredible. But there's old Rayman. It looks like somebody scribbled it during detention on their desk.
The music is so fun, and they've taken the basic elements of a platformer and just flipped some stuff around that just makes it totally unique.
No, it's incredible.
It's hard for me to explain.
It's an incredible
it's
game.
Good.
That and its sequel. Wait, I get it backwards. Rayman Legends, which came first, that or Rayman Revolutions, or it's another name like that.
Right.
And it was a sequel, basically, to this, and I can't remember which came first, but I...
Rayman!
No, not the first
Rayman.
No,
I'm looking now. Rayman Legends, Rayman...
Evolutions. Game.
Rayman Adventures was released after that, I think.
No, not that. That's old one.
Evolution?
Evolution, that's it. Rayman Evolution.
That would have been post that too, I think. Let's see.
Is that before that? After that? Oh, he looks so dumb. He's like a turd with a face. I hate him. I hate his eyes. His eyes are awful.
Why did your turd have a face?
The rest of the characters in this game are incredible.
Right. So Origins, is that what you was thinking about? Which would came right
before it? Maybe it's Origins. Might be Origins.
Yeah. Okay. Origins right before Rayman's Legends.
Okay, so Legends was the second one. I played both. Yeah. The names always confuse me. I could never and they visually like they're almost like identically looking games, so I always forget which one's which. But they're awesome. If you haven't had a chance to play this, it's even worth buying in my opinion if you can't get it for free. But you say this is on PlayStation right now for
it's the PlayStation Plus for this month. So it's the other game besides Beyond.
What was this? 2016, 2015,
2013 even? No, miss 13. It's 2013. Yeah, 2013. So it's an older game, but it still looks amazing.
Yeah, there's no reason not to play this. It's great.
No, it's good. But there is a Rayman 4 to be announced. So we'll see if that actually comes out.
Hold my testicles in a cup. I'm pretty excited. Hey, one final game to recommend I've been playing this in bed. Again, a code from the developer. It's actually also on PS4, but I got it for the Switch. It is called Rogue Aces. All you have to do is put the word rogue in your game, and I go, oh, roguelike. Sounds good. Yep. Let's play it. Yep. And that's exactly what this is. So imagine your 1980s and 90s era arcade side-scrolling ship shooters. what's a good example? What's the one where you loop in the sky and you shoot? Chat room will know this.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about dual stick kind of shooters.
Yes, but the game, but the freaking I can't think of the name of the damn thing. Anyway, it's really good. And that kind of game is what this is, except with roguelike stuff thrown in there. So you're an airplane, right. Not Afterburner, not Defender, although a little Defender. But what's the one where
It's the massive. You go collect the I know it is Sonamora is the most recent example of it.
Not that.
It's not. It's like that. No, it looks like that.
This is old. This is a thing.
Oh, I know. It's not that. I'm saying that there's another game that's like that that looks like it. This modern.
It's
right?
Not our type. It's not Midway 1942. But you guys are in the right track.
But that's what I was gonna say.
You're in the right era, and it's one where you looped. You did a lot of. It's still 2D side scroll. But you loop and do like, and it was a big game. It was like a Williams or it may have been Konami. I don't remember. Ah, frick. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is this game controls like that, but has the whole roguelike, like you're going to die, but you're going to make progress and then go back later. Was it Zevius? Right. Gradius, maybe? Might have been. It's Barnstormer kind of like that. Ah, but where you could do a lot of loops and stuff. And anyway, you take off from this carrier. You shoot a bunch of things. You have a mission. It's like kill a bunch of these planes and then bomb this little space and then come back and try to land. You have 3 lives. It's random every time. It's an important part of these roguelikes. You got to have random levels, right? You go do a thing, you come back, you get rewarded, you go do another thing. It's really freaking hard. Again, another hallmark of these games. And it's awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. This came out of nowhere as far as I'm concerned. And I think it's... Right. It's
so
great.
It is more roguelike than
what? I lost you. Where'd you go? Brian froze. That's great. That's what you want. Here, I'm gonna show you guys a little video of this while we wait for Brian to reset his shite. In fact, here's some sound from it. Okay, let's get going here. Oh yeah, here we go. So you got this guy talking to you. You're flying. I'm going to skip ahead some. Oh, here we go. See, look at this, guys. See, chat, what I'm talking about? Okay, you need to fly. Go in a circle, dude. Just get in the air. Okay, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Okay, there you go. See how he's flying like that? Oh, it's so arcadey and so cool. I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite things in a very long time. And y'all should check that out. All right, Brian, you're back. I don't know what happened to you there.
Perfect. I don't know either. Weird.
Yeah. Rogue Aces. Play it. It's good. I just told him why it was so good. You're going to have to go back and listen to yourself to find out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to play Guess That Game.
It's me, Mario.
All right. That's our theme.
I like that one.
That's awful.
That actually probably fits in well because I would have never guessed that was Mario.
Yeah, it's bad. It's somebody's horrible impression of Mario. All right.
Sinmora was what I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. That's a different game.
Yeah. That's right. More like a... Hell.
This is where we play a game, or we play a sound from a game, and we try to guess each other's game. It's just a little fun game Brian and I play that we've been doing lately. So, Brian, I'm going to play one for you, and the only hint I'm going to give you is it's an old arcade thing that's kind of new again, and you'll have to figure out why, okay?
All right.
Here it is.
Clearly, the creature's goal is to wipe Gum Labs from the face of the earth.
Any guesses?
It sounds like bowling, but it's
not bowling.
I think every week I guess Smash TV. So,
Chatroom nailed it. Chatroom's got it. It's Rampage.
Oh, is it Rampage?
Rampage. Now this
play
is Ram-
that again. That
was,
couldn't possibly be Rampage.
It is. Now it's Rampage World Tour, which is an arcade game, and it was a sequel or two later with the Rampage games.
Clearly the creature's goal is to wipe Gum Labs.
So it had voice stuff in it, so it's a little bit of a cheat.
I don't remember that one.
But this would have been like 90, I don't know, something. But it's they got that new The Rock Johnson deal going on. And it's Rampage. And it's, I don't know, it just felt like it was... I'm not actually playing Rampage right now, because Rampage
tricky
kind of sucks.
Tricky's got tricky, tricky,
tricky. Tricky, tricky. These aren't always... And by the way, I should say the rules of this game are... It doesn't have to be games we're playing necessarily, but it's... Like last week I did Joust or whatever I did. Or 2 weeks ago, and you were like, oh yeah, not Joust. Yet. But it wasn't, I wasn't actually playing Joust that week. So there's that.
That's all okay.
Right. Let's do this. What are we doing here? Let's do this. I got one for you. Ready? Oh, this is, you know, this is for me. Like, I'm not looking at the chat, so I'm not going to cheat. Here we go. Playing Brian's. sounds Star Warsy. Is it old? New?
It's middle generation.
What's that mean?
Around the PS2 N64 generation.
Okay. All right, I think I know what it is. It's the one where it was very highly rated, especially for... They had an N64 version. Mm-hmm. It did real well. Then they had an upgraded something Squadron.
Something Squadron.
Something. Is it Rogue Squadron?
No.
Okay, wait. Don't say it. Is it Star Wars?
Can I give you a hint?
Yes.
And then I bet you still don't get it.
Okay.
Because I'm going to require you to say the full name correctly.
Okay.
It has to do with young Anakin Skywalker. Oh. In pods.
Oh, is it a Star Wars Pod Racer? Episode Phantom Menace Pod Racer?
Oh, so close. I'm not going to take that. Star Wars Episode 1 Racer. Oh. I always call it Pod Racer, but it's just Racer.
Oh, they didn't say Pod Racer in the name? That's weird.
Well, that's what I said, too. And
it was
called,
wasn't that the name on the box, though? Pod Racer on the box.
No, it was actually just Racer. That's what I thought, too. And if you didn't get a chance to get it, they had this past week on Good Old Games for the PC. Also, if you didn't pick up at least one old Star Wars game this past week, you really missed out. Everything was on sale everywhere.
Yeah.
From Steam, Good Old Games, Green Man Gaming, you name it. They had a sale on that stuff.
Weird. Yeah, well, yeah, because for the Star Wars Day, yeah.
Yeah, May 4th.
Don't say it. I hate it.
I just said May 4th. You can say May 4th.
You can say it's May 4th. But anyone who says, may the 4th be with you, makes me want to kick him in the testicles.
You just said it.
Oh my gosh, I did. That music means it's time for the big news story of the week. Fortnite, you may have heard of it. Oh, I made a comment earlier. That game was originally announced at the VGAs on Spike TV back in 2011.
Wow.
It was supposed to just be the tower defense kind of Minecrafty thing that Epic was working on. That's how they announced it. And it was that day. If you went into a coma that day, I did this on Twitter earlier. If you go into a coma that day and you wake up today and someone says, what do you last remember? Oh, I remember they announced, Epic got up on stage and announced something called Fortnite. You'd be like, dude, do I have some news for you? Like, right. The whole world is obsessed with Fortnite, and it happened basically overnight. The guy in the coma would be like, what the hell are you even talking about?
Would it have happened? This is such speculation. We don't know. But would it have happened if PUBG hadn't have found its groove?
Well, more importantly, would it have happened if the Arma mod hadn't found its groove and then PUBG came out of that?
True.
I mean, let's just say this. If people hadn't figured out a way to do a Battle Royale kind of game, probably not, because they weren't thinking of it. I mean, this was a pivot. This is them pivoting. They weren't going to invent that.
Oh, no, but they leaned into it. And it worked out well.
Yeah, I guarantee you the popularity of PUBG absolutely had an effect. There's no question that was what pushed them there. Sure, I think nobody would give two shits about Fortnite if it wasn't for that.
Fortnite.
Guarantee. Fortnite. Fortnite, Battle Royale, and Avengers are teaming up. Infinity War, the movie, just came out. There's been a lot of hoo-ha about that. They're doing a special event. This is a limited-time event. Begins in Fortnite tomorrow, May 8th. It will bring a huge Marvel Universe character into the game. Thanos of Avengers Infinity War fame will star in a special crossover mode in Fortnite Battle Royale. And there's also an Infinity Gauntlet involved. So if you get the stones or something, you're going to be able to lay waste to everybody. I don't know how it works. Nobody knows. They haven't said.
I don't either, but it sounds exciting.
Right.
It actually makes me want to play Fortnite.
It does say the players can find the Infinity Gauntlet on the map. Whoever grabs it can equip it and actually become Thanos in the game. It's a big crossover, two of the biggest franchises right now, considering there
are... Please tell me that bad things happen. That's what I want to know.
Here's what I think happens.
Go, don't, because I almost said something and I was like, no, that might be a spoiler. So
I'm not going to spoil anything. Here's what I think happens. I think that people are going to get tired of this if Fortnite does this constantly. It's getting a little too mainstream for the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the group, right? That's the ones who are pushing.
Now, the rumor is, according to Steven Schleicher, expert all things comics, he says that the Russo brothers who directed the film are actually big Fortnite fans. They would play it a lot to kind of de-stress from the schedule of getting the game or doing all their post-production on the movie. And they liked it so much, they reached out to Epic and said, yo, we want to do a thing, a crossover. We can get Disney on board. And they said, yeah, we'll do it if you can do it. And they did it. So there you go.
Going, they said words.
Going mainstream. And they did it. Mainstream, yo. Mainstream. So that's that. Pretty weird. I'll play it. I'll get in there. My kids are playing it all the time, so I'll get in there. It's fine.
Be easy. Just move, move.
Yeah. I'll just hop in there and see what's up, and we'll let you guys know what we think. We got time for an email sent to us from Larry. Or sorry, this first one's from, do we not have a name? I didn't get a name on the first one. I apologize.
His name is Boop.
His name is Boop, apparently. He says, hey guys, freaking love the show. Boop is where it's at. So I recently got married, and a friend of mine who manages a game store got us an Xbox One X for a wedding present. Man, your friend is awesome. Love your friend.
Not an S. They got you an X.
Yeah, that's I want him to be my friend. He says this, I had fully made the change to PS4 this generation, both getting the original and the Pro. I had thought my Xbox days were behind me for this generation anyway. Decided I would fire this guy up and check things out. Now, admittedly, the menus make me want to barf, but things are pretty good over here. I pulled the trigger on Far Cry 5 and tried it out on my new 4K TV. Things are pretty great looking, fellas. Was looking at the Johnson Xbox update for 2018. Hope all is well. Boop. The update is I'm still eyeing one for Red Dead's launch. Here's what will happen on launch day for Red Dead. Because there's no PC version yet announced, I got to get it on a console.
Right.
Either I'm getting a Pro, PlayStation 4 Pro, that's the day I do that, which I also held off on doing, or I get an Xbox One X. What will determine that is what does the rest of the year look like for both companies, and I'm guessing things are still a little fishy release-wise for Microsoft, so I don't know.
I'm glad that PlayStation has not forced me to get a Pro, because it does leave me the option to go, I will just get Xbox Pro, because... or the Xbox X.
Yeah.
So I'm in the same kind of boat, because I can't do both.
Yeah, but you don't have to do either, which is nice. You can just say, I'll just live with what I got. And I mean, when the reviews hit and everyone says Red Dead's just fine, buy it, you know, on a 4 or 1 without the X or the Pro, then maybe I don't care. I don't know, dude. I just want the PC version.
If I get married this year and my gaming store friend gives me one, I'll definitely have one.
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, if he gave me one, that's where I'd get it. Here's the thing, though. If it's if they make a PC announcement, they're going to make it a PC. You know what's coming to the PC? It has to be. They made too much money on GTA 5 on PC. There's no way they don't.
Didn't we say this the first time around? No. Didn't we
No, because
we said
that was
it's coming to the PC.
But that was before. That was before GTA 5. Number one, number two. That whole generation was marked by them having weird chips to develop for in both consoles. You had PowerPC on the Xbox side, and you had a weird whatever the Infinity Engine Emotion deal or whatever they call it on the PS3. They don't have that problem now. It's all x86 hardware. They can build this thing out easily and simply. So they went through the work to do that with GTA 5. Now they don't even have to do that work. They just poured it. It's easy. It's money in the freaking bank. I guarantee they do it. Guaranteed. They've made so much money on PC with GTA 5 over time. That is a really active player base when it comes to GTA Online, the mods, the DLC, all the stuff they sell over there. They're making money hand over fist. It's still very active.
I'm with you because I want it to be true.
I'm willing to bet right now that it's not only okay. Here's what I'll bet, Brian.
Who are you gonna bet against?
I'm gonna bet.
I'm
with
all
you.
In agreement.
No. You just don't know. Here's what I'll say. If they do it, or if they don't do it,
right?
I'll buy you the first Red Dead DLC.
Oh yeah,
for you.
As long as it's not a zombie.
Wherever you, you don't like that. But wherever you have it, I'll pay for your DLC if it doesn't happen.
Deal.
But I know it's going to happen. I'm so sure of it. It's almost painful for me to even say
it. I win either way.
Yeah, that's true. No matter what, you win. Oh, one quick note from Larry P, by the way. Said, did you guys see this? Nintendo Pro Controller support in Steam. That's cool. That's exciting.
That is actually pretty cool because I have looked at the Pro Controller a couple of times, and I like the way it looks and feels. And I'm always down.
They got one right here.
I am always down with more controller support in my Steam.
There it is. Pro controller, ready to roll. I am so excited because this is one of my favorite controllers to hold. I love it.
Yeah. So basic, but so functional and just.
Yep.
It and just I'll, does the job.
Yep. And I'll do Bluetooth with it, or I guess I could do cable if I had to, but. Yeah, I'm down with this. I mean, I like my Xbox controller as well, but I always like more support for this stuff. I think that's great. It's only currently in the beta version of Steam, so you have to be a beta user to see it. But it should come to the full version of Steam soon enough. That is going to do it for the show. If you'd like to send in your own emails, boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. G stands for Google. It's Google Mail.
Does it? Are you sure about that?
100% Let's
Google.
Positive.
Let's Google if the G, or what will you buy me, my first...
What do you think it is? Gynecological male? Like, what do you think it is? Of course it's Google.
It is short for G. I got male.
Gina. You know, if you know anyone named Gina, don't call her Gina. You get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, Scott learned that the hard way.
I did. She was mad at me. Anyway, it's a story for another day. Frogpants.com/BOOP. That's boop is our web address. Frogpants.com/boop. You can also find us on Twitter at Boop Show. You can find Brian at The Brian Dunaway. Find me at Scott Johnson. And don't forget our playing card Kickstarter still going over at frogpants.com/cards. You'll see it right there when you're there. And some rad stuff coming from that. So check it out. They're not video games so much, but they're games all right. I think it's going to do it for us. For me. For Brian, and for all of you, we'll see you next time.
Game on!
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.